One of the more familiar passages of the Bible, and I'll not even turn to it, is found in Romans chapter 12 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It goes on to say, but be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I'm going to ask you, ushers, if folks come in now while I'm preaching, let them have a seat in the back. No walking down the aisles now while I'm preaching, please. I think one of the saddest things, and I'm going to do something I've never done, I'm going to take my tie off tonight. You won't be able to tell it anyway, but I'm going to take my tie off. I've got a bow tie on here that I don't particularly like. One of the saddest things about our generation is the conformity of the church and the Christian to the world. Now, the old-time religion has many things involved in its teaching. Of course, the old-time religion believed in a Bible that was inspired by God. In these days, when reflections and doubts are being cast upon the Word of God, those of us who adhere to the old-time religion must believe in a Bible that is verbally inspired. We here at First Baptist Church want to reestablish our position to all of those who know or live in this area. We believe in a verbally inspired Word of God. The old-time religion carried with it something else. It carried with it a new birth. The old-time religion preached, in fact, George Whitefield preached over 3,000 times on the one sermon, "Ye must be born again." Somebody asked him, "Why do you preach so often on ye must be born again?" Mr. Whitefield said, "Because ye must be born again." I know that the preaching of the new birth is out of date. Nowadays, preachers are more concerned about water pollution than they are about the regeneration. I know it's sort of old-fashioned for a preacher to get up and say, "You must be born again." It may be old-fashioned. Folks may not like it, but it's still in the Bible. And we want to declare the First Baptist Church in Hammond believes in the new birth. The lady's right. It is wonderful. The lady's right. Most folks don't know about it, but you must be born again. And let me say tonight, very emphatically, I don't care how many churches you've joined. I don't care how many times you've been baptized or sprinkled or confirmed. I don't care how many new leaves you've turned over, how many times you've rededicated yourself to do better. If you've not been born again, you'll not go to heaven. That's just as simple as can be. Jesus said three times in just seven verses that ye must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Marvel not that I said unto you, ye must be born again. But there's something else about the old-time religion, and that is the old-time religion believed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ah, these are days when folks laugh at the bloody gospel. We talk about what can wash away my sins, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And people laugh and say, "Yeah, the old gory blood." Yeah, that's true, but it takes the blood of Christ, to cleanse from sin. There's something else, and that is the old-timers believed in a heaven that was real. Ah, they used to sing the songs like the choir sang a while ago, "In the sweet by and by." When we all get to heaven, oh, they tell me of a land of an unclouded day. And on the songs, when we've been there 10,000 years, and others about heaven. And I want to declare it this evening, the First Baptist Church in Hammond believes in a literal heaven where people go when they die if they've been born again. Then the old-timers believed in hell. I mean a hell that was hot. I heard a very famous preacher on the radio not many months ago say, he did not know whether hell was really fire or not. He said it just it's separation from God. It matters not whether it's fire or not. He said he did not know. Now, I'd like to tell him that if he'd just open his Bible, he could find out. Because Revelation 20 says, "They that were not found written in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire." Matthew 25:41 says, "Then should have said to those on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." In Mark chapter 9, three times it says, "Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched." And again it says three times, "Be cast into hell fire." Revelation 14:11 says, "The smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and forever." And so we at First Baptist Church believe without apology that people that die who are not saved will go to hell and burn forever and forever. Oh, but you say, "Brother Hyatt, that pricks my culture." Okay, it may prick your culture, but it's going to burn your hide if you don't get saved. You've got to get born again. But you say, "Brother Hyatt, this is an enlightened age. The Bible hasn't changed. The Bible is just what it always was. And if hell was true 50 years ago, hell is true tonight. If heaven was real 50 years ago, heaven is real tonight. Society may change, and people may change, and mores may change, and culture may change, but the Bible never changes. It stands forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven, said the psalmist. Now, there is another thing, and that's the message tonight, and that is this. The old-time religion did not conform to the world. The apostle says, be ye not conformed to this world, but be, and the word conform means fashioned after this world, or modeled after this world, but be ye transformed, and the word transformed there is the same word that is used in Matthew chapter 17 about the transfiguration of our Lord. Be ye transfigured. We are to be as different from this world as our Lord was from earthly people when he was transfigured on Mount Tabor 2,000 years ago. Now, God's people are not to conform to this world. I've said this before. I'll say it many times. The gap between the church and the world is getting too wide for you to straddle. There is too great a difference between the world and Christ and the Bible for you any longer to straddle the fence. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the time people say to me often, say, Brother House, I believe you're preaching harder than you used to. No, no, it just seems harder because the world's getting worse all the time. People are compromising and things, look, things that would have been terribly wrong 10 years ago, even Christians nowadays say there must not be anything wrong with them. Now, there are four groups of Christians I want to call to your attention tonight concerning this matter of conformity. The first group, those who conform. I mean, they just say, we'll conform with the world. We'll do what the world does. We'll dress like the world. We'll fix our hair like the world. We'll wear our clothes like the world. We'll take our jargon and our language, our English. We'll talk like the world. We'll act, young people, dark or not, you hear me. You keep your eyes on me and you hear what I have to say. That's one thing wrong with this generation. Our young people need to be taught to behave themselves when they go to a public place. And you're no better than hippies that go and make trouble and do not behave. You're no better than they are. And it's time some of you kids were learning to behave yourself when you come to church. And you sit still like ladies and gentlemen do. And for a change, some of you just learn to behave yourself and be like ladies and gentlemen ought to be. I'm a little weary of some of our best kids breaking glasses, Lord's Supper glasses, like heathen would. I made mention last Wednesday night. Had no idea in this world. The Holy Spirit led me last Wednesday night to say something about TPing houses and trees. I did not even know till today that my house was TP'd Tuesday night. I had no idea. Yours was too. Now, it's a good thing I'm not principal of the school, or whoever did it would be expelled as of right now. And I'm not saying you ought to do it. I'm just saying I'm not going to put up with it. And I'm making an announcement now. When our students do that again, I'm going to call a meeting of the board, and we're going to expel somebody from school. I am weary of Christian people acting like heathen. It's ridiculous. I know a man who heard a man whose house was teepee, tree was. He got up in the tree, fell off, and broke his arm because some fool idiots think that's a good way to have fun. Did you ever hear of eating ice cream and playing checkers for having fun? Did you ever hear of behaving yourself and being decent and courteous? Ever hear of etiquette? You know, that's one of the great problems in this world. Oh, we say, I love the Lord. Young people can get up and say, I want to give my life first, and I want to and sing in church, and yet act like heathen. My Bible says, do not act like the world. Do not dress like the world. Do not talk like the world. Don't behave like the world. And I want to make a statement tonight on Old Fashioned Day, 1970. You just say what you want to say, but brother, I'm not going to change what I've been preaching 25 years because the world is changing. I'm just not going to do it. Now, if everybody leaves, that's okay. If everybody gets mad, that's okay. But the convictions I have lived by and preached for a quarter of a century, I think I'll just go ahead and die by them. Now, those who conform, they say, well, don't be critical now. Times have changed. Let the young people use the jargon. Let's have the music in our churches. And let's dress with the miniskirts, and let's wear the slacks and the school, and let's wear the bell-bottom trousers, and let's let the boys let their hair grow long. But the Word of God thunders down through the ages. Be not conformed to this world.
God's people are to be different. They're to dress differently. They're to talk differently. They're to behave differently. They're to act differently. They're to wear their hair and dress and behave and talk and live like God would have them live. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. But there's a second group, not only those that first group, those who do conform, but in the second place, there are those who go, now follow me, it's the message, you'll have to listen a little carefully to follow it. There are those who go with the bad that they may look good. There are those, when it comes to conforming, they don't conform completely, but they run with the crowd that does conform, and that way they won't have to be completely transformed to look good. For don't you see, this crowd would say that right is relative, and what here's what this crowd does. This crowd would go to a heathen school so that people could say, well, you know, there's one thing, he's different. She's different. Or he's different. And they delight themselves in being righteous because they associate themselves with darkness so that their little flickering light might look very bright. And that's what they call nonconformity or not conforming to this world. They associate themselves with those who do conform that their little conformity might look like righteousness, such as the case of Christians in Hollywood or fundamentalists in liberal denominations. Here's a fellow who believes the Bible, but he belongs to a liberal denomination. But he's pretty good. And people say, boy, he's red hot. But he may get 25, 30 folks saved a year, but he's red hot because he gives an invitation, you see. And there are those who conform to this world that they themselves might be made to look righteous. But let me say this. It won't be long. It won't be long. You may be a little shining light in Hollywood for a while, but your light will flicker after a while. You won't run with the wrong crowd for long. You may be a fundamental preacher in the National Council of Churches, and you may be red hot for a while, but you keep running with that crowd, and after a while, they'll rub off on you, and you'll lose your fire, you'll lose your zeal. You may go to some wicked atheistic college, and you may be a bright light for a while, and folks will say, he's different, she's different. I know. I've seen it happen too many times. And the freshman year, you take your stand, but after a while, before you know it, you're conforming, and your hair gets longer. And before you know it, your skirt gets shorter. And before you know it, your language gets like theirs, and they convert you. I heard about a parrot one time that got out of his cage and went outside and got mixed up with an old crow. And the crow plucked the parrot's tail feathers, and the parrot beat and pecked the parrot all up. And the parrot came back in, and the farmer said, Polly, what in the world's happened to you? And Polly said, bad company, bad company, bad company. It'll ruin anybody. I don't care who it is. Bad company will ruin you. You go to the wrong school, you'll not be like you ought to be for long. You go to the wrong place, wrong crowd, you run with the people who conform to the world, and you yourself will look good for a while, but after a season, you'll be conforming as they. But there's a third group, and this is the one I want to talk to you about the longest tonight, and that is those who stay the same distance between wrong. Now follow me. They keep the same distance between wrong all the time. If wrong is here, they're here. If wrong moves here, they move here. Wrong moves here, they move here. Wrong moves here, they move here. Now bear in mind, they now are more wrong than wrong was a while ago. You follow what I'm saying? Every time that wrong becomes worse, sin becomes more abounding, then they move a little bit, and they're always just as far from society as they were before. They're still, but let me say this, ladies and gentlemen, right is not relative. Right is absolute. Oh, let the modern educators say, they're dogmatists. You better know we're dogmatists. God wrote the Bible. The Bible's as true tonight as it was years ago, and the Bible hasn't changed because the liberals have gotten more rotten. Right is not relative. You see what Satan wants? Satan wants you to start changing. He doesn't mind you being just as close to wrong as you always were. But if he can make wrong more wrong, then he can pull you over and make you wrong. But compared to the prevalent attitudes and dress, for example, nowadays, people go in the nude, you see. So what happens? All right, you can wear shorts today in public, and you can be as far from the worldly norm as you were back yonder years ago when the world wore shorts in public and you didn't. You see what I'm saying? I'm saying that the worse the world gets, the easier it is for you to get worse because you compare yourself with the world. But let me say this, ladies and gentlemen. Drinking liquor is just as wrong tonight when America is bathing in it as it was back during Prohibition days. If drinking liquor was wrong in the 1920s, it's wrong in the 1970s. God has not changed. Right has not changed. Wrong has not changed. Truth has not changed. Error has not changed. God has not changed. You folks that nowadays, you'll just sip with a bottle of beer. I was out in Sioux City, Iowa, and a young man came to me after the service, and he said, "I like your preaching." Boy, I had really ripped up that night. I had snorted and ranted and raved, and he said, "I like that preaching." And I said, "Thank you, sir." And let's see, he mentioned something about somebody, and he said, "He's a good Christian." I said, "Well," I said, "he takes a social drink." And this fellow said, "I'm an attorney in town." And he said, "Social drinking is no longer considered wrong to fundamental Christians in this area." And I said, "That doesn't matter, Mr. Attorney." I said, "If it was wrong to fundamental Christians in any area, it's wrong in this era. Or any era, it's wrong in this era." Now, God has not changed. It's still wrong to drink a bottle of beer. It's still wrong to drink a cocktail. It's still wrong to drink a Bloody Mary. It's still wrong to buy package stores. I was grieved the night. Grieved when I picked up my newspaper and found that one of our city councilmen is opening a package store. And I'll be quite honest with you, he's the last one I thought would do it. You say, "I'm going to tell him." I hope you do. I think he's a fine man. I like him. Except I'm grieved when the men who control our city stoop so low as to make money off causing men and women and boys and girls to lose their decency and lose their restraint and sell themselves to a life that's headed for wreck and ruin. I think drink is as wrong as it ever was. You say, "That's old-fashioned." I know I'm old-fashioned. And brother, let me say this. I don't care if the deacons in this church start drinking cocktail. I don't care if the WMS starts serving martinis at the annual monthly luncheon. You're going to hear thunder from this pulpit. As long as I'm here, it's wrong, it's ungodly, it's sin to drink liquor. You take the matter of cigarettes. Well, I can recall when it took a lot of courage to preach against, it didn't take much courage to preach against cigarettes. But nowadays, cigarettes are considered just sort of the thing. Just the thing. I'm going to park here for a minute now on this subject of ladies' apparel. 25 years ago, I started preaching against ladies wearing shorts in public, and I aim to die. When I die, lay down my Bible, I aim to still be preaching it. The Bible, as I see it, teaches plainly it is wrong, it is wicked for a lady to show her thighs in public. Well, you say that's old-fashioned. Yes, sir, it's old-fashioned. You say you can't grow a church like that. Well, we are, but if you can, I'm still going to preach what I think is right. I think you ladies ought to put some dresses on, and long enough dresses to get down to your knees and quit acting like a bunch of Hollywood harlots. I'll say this, too, and I haven't said this for a while, and it's time I just sort of reaffirmed what I believe, what the Bible teaches about this, and that is Deuteronomy 22, verse 5, says it's wrong for a lady to wear a man's clothing. Now, I don't care. I know what's going on. Ladies tell me they can't find dresses anymore. All they have is slacks. And in the department stores, I was down in Little Rock. A fellow I was with wanted to go down shopping downtown. I went downtown with him, and in every department store in Little Rock, the ladies, the clerks, were wearing slacks. Now listen to me. Now you listen to me, and you hear me well. If it was wrong to wear slacks 10 years ago, when nobody wore them, it's wrong to wear them now, while everybody wears them. Amen. Amen, Brother Hiles. I like your preaching. Nobody else has said I like it. You say, "Well, what's wrong with it?" Because the Bible says a lady shouldn't wear a man's clothing. There's something else wrong with it, too. It's too sensual. And there's something, too. It's just not feminine. But you say, "What should I do? If where I work they say I have to wear them, you ought not to wear them." Listen to me. It's a strange inconsistency. When the same crowd that fights for the right to wear what they want to at the public schools fights for strict dress codes in the department store. Huh? Think about that a minute. The slack wearers and the short wearers, by the way, in case anybody visitors don't like this, you can just lump this the best way you can. You need somebody to preach some old-fashioned gospel to you, and you need somebody to take a stand, and if some preachers don't stand up and say, this is right, this is wrong, this is right, this is wrong, we're gone in this country. Good night. Let's get some men of God behind the pulpits. But the same crowd, the slack-wearing, short-wearing crowd, they said, we're against dress codes, and the same group will say, you've got to wear slacks or we're to work in our store. Not even what I'm going to do. If they make our ladies do it, and our ladies start losing their jobs because of it, I'm just going to take a collection, go to court, make a test case of this thing. I mean, we're just going to find out whether or not whether you have dress. If they're going to let our kids go to school wearing shorts and slacks and mini skirts and almost nothing, and they're not going to tell us we can't wear ladylike clothes when we work it out at public stores. Now, let's take a stand. There's enough folks in this room tonight. If we'd just stand together, we could make some noise in this area. Trouble is, some of you little nickel-nipping, back-scratching, ear-tickling, penny-pinching, soft-soaping, compromising, pink-tea and lemonade Christians, you go around living like the world, talking like the world, acting like the world, dressing like the world, yakking like the world, cussing like the world, smoking like the world, dancing like the world, and you make it hard on every other Christian who's trying to stand for something in 1970. I plan to. If these stinking, long-haired, beatnik hippies can look different, then Christians can look different. If they're willing to go around with long hair and sandals on and be proud to be different, then we as God's people ought to throw our shoulders back and throw our chest out, and with a smile on our face and a song in our heart, we ought to say, we're glad to dress like Christians do. I've decided just to sort of stand. I mean, just stand. I've decided that I'm not going to sacrifice what I've preached for a quarter of a century to keep anybody or to get anybody. Our country's going. We have no rights. We have no wrongs. We have no decency. We have no standards. We have no rules. Nothing is black. Nothing is white. Everything is gray. Everybody decides what he wants to wear. Everybody decides what he wants to say. Let me say, young people, as I said a while ago and I've said before, I do not think for a second that our young people ought to use the jargon of the world. Amen. I'm weary when I say our young people say, that's a cool dress you've got on. Now, if it's cool, that means it's skimpy and the wind can blow through it. Don't talk like the heathen talk. Don't take up the television jargon. By the way, I'll say one of the things that's killing our country is the fact that we're not controlling our television sets. Your kids are allowed to watch everything under heaven. And we've gotten the... And let me say this, too. Now, I don't say much about the school. And I let Dr. Billings operate the school. Now, he's very kind to let me know what's going on and so forth. But I want to say this, and I know I say this for Dr. Billings as well as the faculty of the school. But you may as well make up your mind right now that the Hammond Baptist High School is not going to bow its knee to conform to the high schools of this era. You know what happens? I went out Friday night for a few minutes, and I was working some and making my rounds, and had to go out to the bus barn for a while, and I stopped by the school and watched a part of the ball game. Now, we were playing a Christian school, and the cheerleaders of the other team made a couple of complete turns. What do you call them? Cartwheels. When they did, they showed their legs all the way up their underwear. Now, you see, I had to leave, but what I was going to do was go to them and say, now, you'll not do that here again. You see, once you give a little bit, before you know it, you've given all away. Don't get in the practice of giving. But you say for the house, all the cheerleaders in America do cartwheels. Okay, the question is it okay to show your legs or not? You see, if it's okay, let's all do cartwheels. I'll put some skirt on or some shorts on, and I'll do cartwheels. But let me say this.
If it was wrong in 1900, it's wrong in 1970.
Now, was Grandma wrong or was Grandma right? Well, you said times have changed, but right never changes. You see, you've fallen for the devil's lie that these are different times. You said, Brother Howells, I came as a visitor tonight and I go to another church that doesn't preach like this. Well, thank God you came to hear a man of God for once. It's time you heard somebody preach that took a stand. There was a day when the old-time preachers that preach with these lamps and lanterns and this old-fashioned pump organ and these mourner's benches, they thundered righteousness and against wrong. And so there are those who stay the same distance from it all the time. I've made up my mind to stay as best I can where I've always been. I've made up my mind, and I know that I'll be more unpopular with the passing of every year. I know that. I know it. I've preached from this pulpit for 11 and a half years, for example, that it's a shame for ladies to go around dressing in skin-tight slack with breeches on. Ladies were made to be sweet and feminine, and if the man wears the pants, the ladies ought to wear the skirts, and they ought to wear skirts long enough where they cover their thighs, and Christian folks ought not to wear mini skirts. I've been preaching against this 25 years, and I just don't aim to change because it becomes less popular. So I mentioned Paul Rader a while ago. I wish we had a generation of Paul Raders again. Sometimes read some of those old sermons of John Wesley and Dwight Moody and Billy Sunday. You know why the preaching I'm giving you tonight is different than many of you? I tell you why, because it's not being done much anymore. But this is what fundamentalists preached all the time years ago. There are those who stay the same distance. Then I say the fourth group, those who stand, those who never change. Now, why be in the fourth group? I'll tell you why. Because once you start changing, the devil has you conforming and changing. You're a lot better off to set your principles and live by them. Once you start changing a little bit, then you're on your way to change. Let's take the matters of the plays. They started out a few years ago in the drama departments of our colleges and high schools, letting the boys and girls in the plays use the word D-A-M-N and H-E-L-L in the plays. And now they've gone and gone and gone and gone until many plays across this country, many campuses across this country, people are in plays in the nude. Right over here in a high school in Gary just a year or two ago, there was a play there, and a lady was in the nude in a high school. In colleges all across this nation, right over in University of Chicago, colleges all across this nation, people are giving in drama or dramatic presentations, and men and women in the nude. You say, Brother House, how did it get that way? I'll tell you, I got that way. Because we open the door to change and let them put the word D-A-M-N in, H-E-L-L in, and now it's profane and vulgar and as sorry as the devil because we open the door to change. Now, once you start changing, there's no place to stop. Let's take the matter of our literature. We started having literature that just used profane or art. Vulgar. When I say vulgar, I mean not refined language. And now, God's name has the word D-A-M-N at the end of it. I mean, in books that are required reading. Required reading. And adulterous, prostitution, homosexuality, all these things, they're accepted now. How did it happen? We let them start using just unrefined words. Taking the matter of dress codes. Of dress codes. If 10 years ago you had gone to a high school in this area and all of a sudden seen what you see now, we would have had revolution for decency in this country. Now then, in America, tonight, we have changed so gradually until our dress codes are gone. My heart is sick about Hammond Tech. I was thanking God for Mr. Parsons, the principal of Hammond Tech. I know him. I was thanking God for him. The fact that they had some codes left. And that, you just drive up to the average high school in this area and see how they dress. Just see. Some of you parents are living under the delusion that the schools are like they were when you were in school. Listen, there is as much difference between the school that you went to 20 years ago and the schools of today, in the high school especially, and the colleges, as there is in a Sunday school class and a tavern. How many of you over 30 ever heard your teacher curse in school? Ever heard your teacher curse in school? Over 30. Would you stand up, please? One, two, three, four. Thank you. Be seated. Four people in this crowd. How many of you in school now ever heard your teacher, a teacher, curse in school? Would you stand up, please? Thank you. Be seated. How many of you heard your teacher curse this year? Now, you don't go to Hammond Baptist High School. You heard your teacher curse this year. Would you raise your hand, please? All over the house. Okay, parents, if you want to keep sending them there, it's up to you. They're your kids. Hey, what you better do? You better sell that new car and get an old one and sell that television set and get your kids in some decent training where righteousness and honor and integrity and etiquette and ethics prevail. Now, you just better do it. Now, listen, the gap is too wide. You say, preacher, I am just sick and tired of hearing you preach against the educational system. Well, you may as well fire me, listen to it, or get somewhere where you can get a preacher who mollycoddles to your fancy. Because I don't aim to shut up about any indecency. Right out here at Munster High School a few days ago, this dirty Woodstock record was played for a class at Munster High School. And on that record, a girl teaches how to seduce a boy and get into bed with you. Played at Munster High School. The fellow who played that ought to be in the penitentiary. And yet you go ahead and put your little lambs to the sacrifice, the altar of heathenism and atheism and godlessness. It's just time God's people decided not to conform to this world. Taking the matter of hair. Their boys, this morning, I grieved as I saw our boys come in that door back there as I walked out of my class. There are boys in our church that because the hippies have the long hair, they let their hair go down to their collars, and it's not considered so bad. It's amazing. You'll say nowadays, hey, look at him, he has short hair. But you, if you'd have said that 10 years ago about him, you'd have said he has long hair. You see, we have conformed and do not even know it. For we have the idea, as long as we stay so far from the worst, that we're okay. That's not true. That is not true. The Bible says it is wrong for a man to have long hair. It's a shame for a man to have long hair. That is in the Bible. But we've conformed. We've conformed. If every person in this area who says he's born again, who goes to a Bible-preaching church, now follow me, would see to it that the girls wear skirts that are long enough, and the boys get haircuts, and take baths, and wear decent clothes, and use decent language, and the girls dress properly, and just live like the Christians lived 25 years ago. You wouldn't recognize this area. I took my girl, Cindy, the other day, down to buy her a dress. It's her birthday. I went to a teenage shop. She's preteen. Walked in, and a teenage girl was there, and a lady, a middle-aged lady, waited on us, and the teenage girl was there watching. And I said, lady, I want a dress for this, my daughter. She said, all right.
She showed us one. I said, I'm sorry, it'll have to be longer. She said, what? I said, it'll have to be longer. She said, how much longer? I said, when she gets on her knees, what is it, 3 inches? Has to be 3 inches or lower from the floor when she's on her knees. And the teenage girl who was a clerk there said, what? Yeek. I said, she goes to a school, requires that. And the girl said, what school is that? And I said, Hammond Baptist High School. And the girl said, oh, that's too bad. And I said, no, it's very good. We like it that way. Now, if God's people, but you see, here's the thing about it. I went over to Carson's. I took Cindy up to the preteen in Carson's. And I asked, and they had nothing there either. And I said, we go to First Baptist Church. Wonder where our folks buy their clothes. Now, there are enough folks in our church that trade at Carson's where if we would go speak out, they could make money off ordering decent length clothes. The trouble is, we have Sunday school teachers, we have deacons, we have faithful members. If you saw their daughter at school, you wouldn't tell her from a heathen girl. You know it's the truth. Now, I'm trying to help you. Look, when are you going to stop? If you had seen a girl 10 years ago walking down the street in one of these little miniskirts, you would have said she's a prostitute. Now, you keep on changing like that, and you'll have your kid smoking marijuana in 10 years. When are you going to change? When are you going to be different? Look, if you ever are going to draw the line, you may as well draw it immediately, because you're going to end up being a fanatic some of these days if you don't smoke marijuana. Now, you may as well get in practice of being different, and you may as well realize the day has come when God's people cannot span the gulf with the world any longer. So I want to make my declaration tonight, and I'll close. I, Jack Hiles, do hereby declare, as long as I'm pastor of this church, that which has been preached from this pulpit for 11 and a half years will continue to go forth from this pulpit. I, Jack Hiles, here declare that the principles this church has stood for, and I have made enemies for, and I've been called a nut and a fanatic and a fool for, these principles will be enforced in the Hammond Baptist High School. We're not going to sacrifice and give our money and pray and have God answer our prayers and put up a high school with hard-earned money. We're not going to do it and let the devil steal that high school. We're just not going to change. Now, we're not going to do it. I mean, we're not going to have a bunch of cheerleaders doing flip-flops in school and showing their legs. We're not going to have it. You say, we can't play anybody in basketball. Okay, if that's the way it is, we just won't play anybody in basketball. I mean, now I'll say this much. If some schools would take some stands, it'd encourage other schools to do so. We didn't start the Hammond Baptist High School to have a school. We started to have a school that would teach our boys and girls to stand for what we thought was right. I hereby declare, young people, the convictions, the dress codes, the things we've preached for 11 and a half years will be preached from this pulpit. And we will continue to have college presidents say, the best students we have, the best kids we get, come from First Baptist Church. Dr. Bob Jones III, who is soon to become president of Bob Jones University, if he hasn't already, spoke at the Bill Rice Ranch last summer. He sat on the platform after being there for most of the week and seeing our young people. And Dr. Bob Jones III wrote me a letter and said, Dr. Hiles, I reached over and told folks on the platform, if I did not even know the pastor of these young people, I would know he's somebody like Jack Hiles, the way these young people behave. He said, you had the most mannerly,
the best young people at the ranch. Dr. Lee Robertson has told me time and time again that our young people that come to his school are among the best they have. Dr. Bob Jones has said the same thing. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the reason it's been that way is because we have not moved the ancient landmarks which our fathers have set. We have stood. We have been unpopular. I can walk down the streets in town, and it's nothing unusual for me to go to a shopping center and have people hiss at me when I walk by. I know. I see it time and time again. I hear people whisper, "Hey, that, you know who that is? Hey, guess who that is? That's the old Horror Roller Baptist." You say, "Brother Hiles, I feel sorry for you." Feel sorry for me? Nothing. I want to jump up and down, click my heels together, and say, "Glory to God, I'm glad to be called that." Sometimes parents come to me and say, "Brother Hiles, would you pray for little Susie? At school, she's having such a hard time. She won't participate in the dances, and she wears a skirt over her slacks at school because that's what you say she ought to do." And folks criticize, "Would you pray for her?" "I feel so sorry for little Susie." I don't. I thank God for what's happening to little Susie. Little Susie is learning right now that to be a Christian, it costs you something. To be a Christian, and the kind that God wants you to be, is a price to pay. It's just as good, just as well that little Susie, while she's 6 or 7, learned that you'd have to stand. One of our students of the day at Hammond Baptist High School did something that was dastardly. I mean, terrible. Awful. Dr. Billings expelled him. He came to me last Sunday morning seeking mercy. I said, "Not on your life. Not on your life. We're going to keep the thing pruned and keep the thing clean. There's going to be one high school in this area where parents can send their young people and know that they'll be treated, that they'll be taught decency and respect for law and order and anarchy. And by the way, if anybody captures the dean or captures the principal, you rest assured, I'll come out there with my gadget that Mr. Forrester made me, that mace, and I'll just start swinging it." We're not going to have anything like that. You say, "How are you going to prevent it?" We're going to hold the line. We're going to cut the devil's tail off right behind his ears. You say, "Brother Jack, one fellow said not long ago, he said, I predict that in 10 years, you won't have 100 people." And I said, "If I don't, I predict that in 10 years, I'll be preaching exactly what I'm preaching now. I'd rather have 100 people hear the truth than 10,000 hear a fellow who's soft-soaped and compromised and tickled ears and scratched backs and gave in to the devil and the lewd crowd. Listen, pick up, turn your television set on it. See what's happening to this world." Somebody's got to stand. And so tonight, I declare once again what I've declared through these years. We believe, preach, practice, and will continue to do so. The old-time religion. Now, I ask you a question. Are you conforming? Are you conforming? In which crowd are you? The conforming crowd? Are those who run with the bad and find their consciences soothed because the bad people say, "She's the best person who works here"? That doesn't mean anything. Well, you can be the best person that works in the average store and still be as sorry as the devil. Or are you in the crowd that stays the same distance from the norm all the time? Are you in the crowd that says, I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the water. I shall not be moved. For blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The reason you conform, you never were like a tree planted
Your roots have not gone deep enough. I'll close with this. About 4 years ago, I went down to the little church where I preached, the little town where I went to college, Marshall, Texas. Marshall's a little railroad town, about 20,000 people tucked away in the sand hills of East Texas and the pine thickets of East Texas. Preached in a little church in Marshall, church where most of the people I used to pastor attend now. I got there, and there they were. There's Mrs. Pepper and her children. And there was Tom Ford and Faye. And there was the Hartzells. There were the Hartzells. And Mrs. Smoke, Jack, Eva, others. People to whom I'd preached almost a quarter of a century ago. I'd borrowed a Cadillac car from a friend in Dallas. He's a Cadillac. I drove up, and those old country people, God bless them, they said, "Man, look at that car." I had a new suit I just bought on. I heard one fellow say, "Whew, look at Brother Hiles' suit." I walked to the platform, and there were the old people I preached to years ago. Simple people, East Texas people. Most of them not very formally trained. Just simple people. Help make America. I finished preaching, and one by one they came out. And here's what they said. "Brother Jack, you ain't changed a bit. You ain't changed a bit. Brother Jack, you're the same preacher that you were when you were down here in the little country church.